Welcome to Turn the Page, the official podcast of the Syosset Public Library.
This is Jessica with Turn the Page podcast at Syosset Public Library, and I am thrilled to have our guest on today.
Hello, my name is Dana Claire Simpson, and I am responsible for Phoebe and Her Unicorn, the syndicated comic strip and graphic novel series.
Which is something I just tell everybody to read and all the time, and it's one of those books that came across my desk when I was in children's full time. And it was one of those books that I was like, I wish this book was around when I was a kid, because this was exactly what I would have needed to have been friends with a unicorn like Marigold Heavenly Nostrils is her full name, I believe.
That is correct. It's a name I got from typing my name into an online unicorn name generator.
What? That's awesome.
I typed in my name and it gave me the name Marigold Celestial Nostrils. I changed it to Heavenly because at the time, My Little Pony Friendship is Magic had just blown up and I didn't want to invite the comparison to Princess Celestia.
I could understand that, yes. Oh, and I suppose they did sort of hit at a similar time, thinking of how long Friendship is Magic has been out as well.
Friendship is Magic came out in 2010, and Phoebe and Her Unicorn started as an online comic in 2012.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about where Phoebe came from, and then we can talk a little bit about some of your other works that you're working on at the moment.
Phoebe and Her Unicorn happened after I won a contest. In November 2009, I won the Comic Strip Superstar Contest, which was like a talent search that Andrews McNeil, which is now my syndicate and publisher, held. And I had been a web cartoonist for years at that point and was kind of looking to get out of it and do something else. It was kind of like, this has been fun, but I'm starting to get older. Wasn't a lot of money in web comics at the time, back in the 2000s. We didn't really have Patreon or Kickstarter. We had not yet worked out how to make money off web comics. It's still hard, but I think people have figured it out more now. So I was looking to do something else, but I had been trying to get my work syndicated for years without success. And I was doing another strip thing called Ozzy and Millie that we can talk about later, but I'd ended that strip. I was looking to get into maybe illustrating children's books at the time. And then a friend emails me and he was like, have you heard of the Comic Strip Superstar Contest? And I had not, but the prize was you got a book contract and a development deal to do a newspaper strip. And I thought, I'm as qualified as anyone in the world to win this. And I won somehow. I think because all the Ozzy and Millie fans voted for me because I told them to. That's my working theory. But there were a lot of really strong entries, and a couple of those comics that were in the top 10 are also syndicated now. And there was just a tremendous pool of talent, and I'm amazed that I managed to win. But I won not with a strip about a unicorn. It was a strip called Girl that starred a little girl who was basically Phoebe, although I hadn't given her that name yet. And she would hang out in the woods behind her house and all of her friends were talking animals. And that was the concept of the strip at the time. And we went through a 2-year development period during which a unicorn just sort of walked into the middle of everything and declared herself to be the other main character.
As a unicorn would.
Sure. It was like a year into development and Marigold just sort of, I drew like one strip that also had a unicorn and the joke revolved around there being a unicorn, but I didn't plan for her to stick around. But once she was there, she was kind of like, I am here now and this is the strip that we're doing. And I liked it and my publisher was like, oh yeah, you have something there, keep making that. And a few months later, the strip officially debuted. And it was the story that readers will know now, the story of a little girl named Phoebe who manipulates an arrogant unicorn named Marigold into becoming her best friend. The original title of the strip was Heavenly Nostrils. And they made me change it later because when we did the books and the newspaper launch a couple years after that, they were like, title's too weird. Barnes & Noble straight up told us, we will buy more if you name it something that's more descriptive of the content of the book.
I suppose Phoebe and her unicorn is more straightforward, though I would not have turned my nose up at Heavenly Nostrils.
Lots of people, I still hear from people who have been reading it for that long. I still hear, I liked the name Heavenly Nostrils. Like, that was what got me interested. I was like, that's a weird name. I have to know about what it's attached to. But other people, my mother hates it. It's very polarizing as a name.
I suppose you want, you know, obviously we want it on the shelves at the bookstores and the libraries.
Yeah, I didn't argue at all. I just wanted my strip launched.
I don't blame you. Well, it's absolutely adorable. And the unicorn, as a child of the 80s myself, there's a striking resemblance to a unicorn that was very famous in media of my youth, the Lady Amalthea from The Last Unicorn.
Well, we must be somewhere close to the same age because that unicorn was a prominent figure in my youth also. I remember seeing the movie The Last Unicorn for the first time when I was like 8 or 9 maybe. And I liked it a lot, and it sort of ignited my interest in unicorns. And I read them later, like in college, and it's still one of my favorite books. And my idea of a unicorn is heavily based on, you know, for those who have not read Phoebe and Her Unicorn, the way that story begins is that Phoebe goes down to a pond and picks up a rock and skips it. And there's a unicorn who's hidden in the mist, and the rock hits her in the nose. And Phoebe's like, I'm very sorry. I didn't mean to hit you with that rock. And the unicorn says, do not be sorry. I am so beautiful that when I see my own reflection, I'm trapped there sometimes for days, and you have freed me and I owe you a debt. And Phoebe gets a wish out of it. And this comes from the opening part of The Last Unicorn. Because in the beginning of that book, Peter S. Beagle, the wonderful author of that book, writes that unicorns often live next to reflective pools because they like to stare at their own reflections because they know that they're the most beautiful and magical creatures in all the forest. And I thought that was funny. And so I sort of took it and made it into a comedy scene. And that was how my story started.
And it's adorable and funny, and it just, the adventures that Phoebe and Marigold go on, be it bringing her to school and showing up possibly a rival, and just everything else that they do is just so much fun. And I just push that book to everybody who comes in looking for graphic novels because it's wonderful. And you know, again, as like a fan of the Last Unicorn movie and later the book, I think there's a lot of us who wanted to be a Phoebe, to befriend a unicorn, even though she was a bit melancholy compared to Marigold, who seems a little bit more, you know, like she's mystical, but and you've got to give respect to the unicorn. She was the last unicorn, and her whole brethren have been taken from her, so there was melancholy in that book. But I think, you know, like a lot of us just wanted to be like, hey,
yeah,
you just be my friend. It's okay.
The unicorn.
Yeah,
and Phoebe, the wish Phoebe ends up making is, you have to be my best friend, and then they're sort of stuck together after that. One of my favorite moments in the strip, though, is when, like, for the whole first book, Marigold is there because she has to be. She doesn't necessarily want to be best friends with Phoebe. She's making the best of it, but mostly she's just there honoring a wish that Phoebe made. And not too many spoilers for my own, but close to the beginning of the second book, Phoebe releases Marigold from the wish because she decides it isn't nice to make somebody be her friend. And Marigold's like, but what if I want to hang around? Because now I like you. And since then, that happened. Marigold is there of her own free will, and they're best friends because they're best friends.
How many volumes are there at the moment?
There are now 12. The most recent book, which came out this month, Virtual Unicorn Experience, in which we explore, among other things, Unicorn VR. Unicorn VR is a... Let me find that storyline. We're... Phoebe puts on the unicorn VR hat and she says, this is what being a unicorn is like? Marigold says, in some ways. Phoebe says, everything is so sparkly and colorful. Marigold says, magic is everywhere if one just looks through unicorn eyes. And Phoebe says, my body feels like how pop rocks feel in my mouth. Marigold says, magic fields are tingly. That's just a taste.
That's adorable. I love it.
There's other stories in this book because, you know, it's most of the books are collections of the comic strips. There are two, The Magic Storm and Unicorn Theater, that are standalone graphic novels. And I mean to write some more of those. But most of the books are collections of the strips. And so the stories tend to be short and kind of episodic. So there's that story, the one where the unicorns criminally charge Phoebe with being a human. Little adventures that they're having. Phoebe and Marigold attend a movie together and then play space battles together outside. There's a thing where they went to the science museum, which I wrote because I had just been to a science museum.
That's awesome. How much of your own experience do you put into the stories?
A lot. It's a weird mix. Like, Phoebe's stories tend to be very, I almost said ground, that seems like overselling it, but like, if you read Phoebe and Her Unicorn, you will occasionally encounter Phoebe's cat, who is a little beige, fluffy thing named Gladys. Gladys was a real cat, and she was my cat for 7 years. Before that, she was my sister's cat for 6 years. And then my sister couldn't keep her around, but didn't want to give her to a stranger, so I took her in, and then I had her for the next 7 years, and then she died. Just after the first Phoebe book came out, she passed away from cancer.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it was, her life was too short. She was only 13. But she lives on as Phoebe's cat. Phoebe's stories are often based on either stuff that happened to me when I was a kid, or stuff that, you know, has happened to me now, or stuff that happens to other children who are in my life. I don't have kids, but I have 7 nieces and nephews. So I have some notion of what, and friends with children, I have some notion of what goes on in children's lives these days. All of it secondhand. But that's where Phoebe's stories often come from. Marigold's stories are often just me making up some weird thing about unicorns. Like somebody, and people in my life will say stuff to me like, so what's unicorn bread like? Or something like that. And I'll be like, I don't know. And then it'll lead to a whole story about whatever unicorn thing. It's the fun thing about writing about unicorns. You can make anything up and just ascribe it to them.
Of course. And it seems magical.
Yeah, because unicorns.
Because unicorns.
But there's stuff that's just funny to have unicorns do. Like, it's not in this book, it's in an earlier one, but the one where Marigold makes Phoebe go see her unicorn stand-up comedy act.
That is awesome.
Stuff that it would just be funny for Marigold to do. You know, sometimes if I don't have a good idea for a storyline, I'll just think, what would I like to draw? What would be fun and funny to draw? Which is how you end up with, like, the storyline where Marigold is snowboarding.
That was a fun one.
Yeah, that was just wanting to draw a snowboarding unicorn and then writing something to hang that on.
So let's talk about some of your other works, because I know you have, you mentioned you have another one, and then you have a children's book coming out?
Well, actually, it came out just recently. in August.
So this, again, this is the problem with the pandemic. You kind of yeah. miss things. I think when I first reached out to you, it was coming out, but now it's out.
My sense of time is completely broken. But I illustrated a book, a children's book called I'm Not a Girl. The author was written by Maddox Lyons and Jessica Verity. And Maddox is a 13-year-old transgender boy. And he wrote this book about his experience coming out called I'm Not a Girl. And they went looking for illustrators. They wanted it to be illustrated by a trans person. And I suppose there aren't a ton of working transgender illustrators. And they came across me, I think, by searching on Twitter and asked me if I wanted to do it. And I felt like, and I was advised not to do it on the grounds that I should stop saying yes to everything because I have way too much work.
I do the same thing.
That felt like a project I couldn't say no to because I felt like it was important and I felt like I was the right person for it. And so, yeah, it was supposed to come out in May. It came out in August because of the pandemic. And I'm disappointed we can't like be out doing more in-person publicity for it because that's what we would be doing if it weren't for this. But it's a really nice little book. I hope it finds a very touching story of this little trans boy trying to get his parents and the people in his life to accept that he is a boy. It has a happy ending.
Good.
Yes. It's a lovely book, and I hope that I would find the people who need it. And I would love to do more stuff like that, both like, you know, in terms of the subject matter, but also in terms of just illustrating picture books, because that was a really fun project. It was different than what I normally do. It got me out of my routine a little bit.
Yeah. So your other comic strip.
Yes. My other comic is called Ozzie and Millie. I did it before Phoebe and Your Unicorn. I drew it, revealing my age a little bit, but I drew it between 1998 and 2008.
Okay.
I was a teenager when I started, when I first came up with those characters. I was in college. And
we probably are just about the same age.
Yes. Yeah, I was 19 when I drew the first Ozzie and Millie strip. And then I ended up drawing it for just over a decade. And it was a webcomic. I wanted it to be a syndicated comic. I never successfully got it syndicated. But since Phoebe became a thing, Ozzie and Millie has one book out from Anders McNeil, doing another one in the spring. And also arranging the strips just so that somebody who's never heard of the strip before can sit down and read it and get like a full experience of reading a book. Ozzie and Millie are foxes. They are both 10 years old and they attend school. And Millie is a destructive little weirdo who wants to burn everything down. And Ozzie is an unnaturally calm, very zen kid who wears a top hat. And ooh. Yeah, and Ozzie's adopted and his father is a dragon who may or may not be lying about everything, but is very cheerful and fun. Ozzie and Millie, like Phoebe and Her Unicorn is an easy elevator pitch. It's a story about a little girl and her best friend who is an arrogant magic unicorn. And that's the elevator pitch for Phoebe and Her Unicorn. And Ozzie and Millie, I could sit here for several minutes explaining the premise of Ozzie and Millie because I just sort of let my imagination fly on that strip. But it had a large fan base for the time. Webcomics were not a big thing in the way that they are now. Like, a friend who's a big web cartoonist now told me the other day that she's nearing 400,000 subscribers. Ozzie and Millie, when it had like 20,000 readers, was like one of the biggest webcomics at the time. Like the internet was just smaller then.
And it seems like webcomics were kind of big back then, but I think they've taken on so much. I mean, they just like have, it's not like they've plateaued. It's just.
They've become much more mainstream in the same way that I guess being on the internet in general has become more mainstream. Like, you know, the early 2000s when Ozzie and Millie was at its peak, like most people were still not on the internet. I don't know, the earliest webcomics, I'm going to geek out about webcomics for a minute. The earliest webcomics were mostly for the niches that were on the internet. So you have a lot of early strips that are about either working in tech or being in college, because that's who was on the internet. And then as the internet got more mainstream, more different webcomics about more things. Ozzie and Millie was a little bit of an oddball strip for the internet because it was not about either of those things. It was just a strip I was drawing, and it was on the internet because that's where there was for me to put comics. Now that's, like, if I were doing it now, it would not be weird because webcomics, it's just like any kind of webcomics you can imagine now. It's a great era for webcomics, and I love a lot of the stuff that's around now. I will say that as far as I can tell, my book sales haven't dropped because everybody's reading more, because everybody's got more time for it.
That is true. I've read more recently than I have, and I'm a librarian, so I feel like I do so much more reading. And I think, like, you know, to just as a tribute to Phoebe, I mean, it's an escape. I decided
at the beginning of all this that I was not going to address the pandemic directly in the strip. I've addressed it indirectly. Every one of the, there's Sunday comics about how Phoebe's sad and can't deal with what's going on in the world or whatever. And that's the most directly I've chosen to address it. But like, I didn't, you know, she didn't stop going to school. I did a summer camp storyline this summer, which I couldn't have done if pandemics were happening in the universe. I figured, one, I felt like it would be very limiting to me as a writer. Like, I would be running out of things for Phoebe and her parents to do if they can't leave their house. I suppose I could have written around that if I'd really decided to. But the other thing was, I felt like it would be nice for people if my work was sort of an oasis where that isn't something they have to think about.
I think that that's fair and very needed.
Having said that, though, the strips that do kind of indirectly address it have been some of the most popular things I've done during this time. Like, I hear from people a lot about one particular strip where Phoebe's sitting in a beautiful sunny field being sad, and she's like, it's almost worse because I'm in this beautiful place and inside I'm just in this very different, darker place. And Marigold creates a small rainy dimension for her to be sad in. And a lot of people have like told me that that strip struck a chord for them.
I think that there's a lot to be said for that. A lot of people are going on isolation vacations, either with their family or just by themselves, where they rent an Airbnb in the middle of nowhere and look at pretty things, either with nobody around or in a mask. And it is like, I don't know what the word for it is. It's not, you can take in the beauty, but then you know that there's so much else coming from without. So that's a really interesting way of addressing it.
We've been camping, which is something that you could mostly still do at various times, like, at least some of the campgrounds have been open. And so we bought a camper van a couple of years ago.
Nice.
So that's our go-to. Yeah, well, we live like right by the Los Padres National Forest, which is bigger than the state of Delaware. And it has a lot of campgrounds in it. So we've been exploring that a lot. And it's been a way to sort of get out of all of this for a couple of days. And I feel like that's been really helpful for us. Just go out into the wilderness for a couple days. And sometimes you don't even have an internet connection in some of the more remote campgrounds, which is always hard at first and then a huge relief.
There is a lot, and I would imagine as an artist, an author, you know, like, you always have to stay connected. I would imagine there's just so much pressure to do that, and it is almost liberating to kind of cut that cord for just a little bit, even though there's like that constant push.
Really is. the thing about working from home, the thing about being the kind of artist that I am, is I always feel like I should be working and going someplace where, like, all right, I'm going out into the wilderness. If you contact me, I won't see it till Monday. And then just being away from it all, getting the noise to stop for a couple of days. It's helpful. Like, my spouse has a more traditional job. They're in IT. And, you know, at 5 o'clock or whatever, they're done and work is over and they can do whatever they want. And I try to build that into my life, but it's hard when you have to, like, impose it on yourself. Yeah. Going someplace with no... There's a Phoebe strip, actually. It's an early one. It's a Sunday comic where they're riding through the woods together. Phoebe's riding on Marigold's back and she's looking at her phone and going, almost. Yes, we've reached the point where I don't have any phone reception anymore. And she's thrilled about it. And that's kind of how I feel about going camping.
So you have some standalones and you have some that are more like strips. Do you have, like, the future of Phoebe? Are you, do you have an ending point or is it just going to keep going?
It'll end at some point. And I kind of always imagined the strip having this sort of soft ending that something like Calvin and Hobbes had, where you get the sense that they haven't stopped having adventures.
It's been compared to Calvin and Hobbes, and it has very much that feel to it.
Intensely flattering. What I sort of see as the future of Phoebe and her unicorn is that at some point the strip will stop because I'm not going to want to do it every day anymore, but I will not stop writing about them. That I'll still write the graphic novels and maybe one every year and continue the stories that way. Even when I'm tired of the day-to-day stuff, I'll still have bigger stories to tell. They're going to be with us for a long time.
That makes me exceptionally happy, and I'm sure it does our listeners as well.
I hope to keep that promise.
Thank you so much. Once again, this was Jessica, and my guest was
Dana Simpson of Phoebe and Her Unicorn.
And we are going to close this chapter of Turn the Page.
It's time to close this chapter of Turn the Page. Join us for the next episode.